Amen. Well, we got Bob. He's going to be sharing a message today. And the title of his message is God Has Got Your Back. Amen. And how many of you know we wouldn't be here if God didn't have our back? Fred was talking about he was in a car accident. Doctor came in, started poking him in the, you know, in the feet, thinking that he was, you know, paralyzed, maybe a quadriplegic. You know, but God had your back there. And if we're all honest, we can look back on almost every single day where we came from and where we're at today, that God truly has our back. If we just let him move in our lives the way that he wants to move. A lot of times because we drag our feet, we don't want him to move. But he's got our back in every and all circumstances. So Bob, come on over here. We're going to say a prayer over you and ask God to use you. Amen. And we got your back too, Bob. We got your back. And amen. 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 Father, we give you thanks today. We thank you for all that you do in our midst. We thank you for the morning service, the breakfast, the ministry of the word today, the music. But Lord, we come to sit at your feet, Lord, to hear from your word. And we pray for Bob as he has prepared his hearts to share that message that you got our back. And we thank you that you do and that you get us through all and every circumstance and situation. Now, Father, bless Bob as he brings forth your word today. Let it resonate in our heart. Let it motivate us. Let it spur us on to a deeper walk with you. Father, we in a deeper trust in you. Father, we thank you and we give you praise in Jesus' name. And we all said, amen.
Amen. Morning, everyone. How's everybody doing today? Everybody have a good week? Not everyone had a good week, did they? Quite possibly some people had some bad week, right? It happens. Guaranteed. If you didn't have a bad week this week, it might be next week. Oh, yes. Have you ever had one of those weeks that Sunday, last Sunday, walk out of the door, right? Feeling good, all built up, man. I got God all over me. When I'm feeling good, don't touch me. That's God. Feeling good, right? Soon as you hit those doors, it's like Mike Tyson laid a right into your face. Boom! The world hits you. Oh my goodness, my tire's flat. I got in an argument with somebody in church today. I got to go to some family function. And all this is going on. Oh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? I know I'll pray. Oh, last resort. You start praying, Lord, protect me, Father. I know these things come against me, but Lord, you're greater. You just stand here with me. You just protect me. You save me. You put this hedge of protection around me and just stop all of this, Father God. Thank you, Lord. You go to bed that night, and you know it's going to be a rough week. You get up out of bed the next morning. You say, all right, I'm prepared. I'm going to put on my armor. Everybody familiar with the armor of God? Ephesians 6. Put on the helmet. As I'm doing it, I'm praying too. Oh, Lord, you know, protect me. Just put the, oh, angels, bunch of them all around me. So I put on each piece of this armor. Whew, I'm ready to go out. I've got my armor on. I've got my shield of faith. Because I know the enemy. Whoop, the enemy is going to be throwing things against me. Oh, watch out. The things are going to be coming against me in every direction. Ooh, that one got through. It's just a flesh wound. Don't worry. I'll be fine. But I got my shield to protect me, right? Anybody there? Okay. I don't get. Thank you, Lord. Stopped another one. All these arrows. You know, it's rough out here in the world, right? But I got my faith, right? I got my shield of faith. I'm back here behind this, so don't, you can't get, ooh, it's just a flesh wound, don't worry. I'm going to make it through this day, Lord. Lord, just put a hedge of protection around me. Just protect me, Father God. Lord, nothing can come against me. In your name, Lord, protect me. Hallelujah. You make it all the way to bedtime. Oh, I'm safe now. In my nice comfy home, got my little bunny slippers on. I'm feeling good. But the next day, you know you've got to get up and go back out in that world again, and everything is going to be coming against you. The whole world is against us. It just seems that everything is falling apart. You want to feel bad? Watch another one. Ooh, another flesh wound. I'll be all right, Lord. Nothing can come against me now. I'm behind my shield of faith. Another day, I'm going to make it through this. Ooh. Ah. Phew. All week it's like that. We're getting up every morning, putting on our armor, praying constantly just for protection, just to be able to hunker down, have those angels protect us, knowing we're going to make another day. Rolls around to the next Sunday. Oh, we're coming in those doors, helmets all stuck to the side like a cheap wrapper, shields hanging down here, my breastplate's almost falling off, one shoe, I lost one of my shoes, I don't know where it is. And you're just walking through those doors and saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I made it. Oh, another week. Here I stand. Nothing come against me. Nothing stop me. I'm here, Lord. God looks down and says, Bob, me and him are on a first name basis. He calls me Bob. I call him God. First thing he says is, what did you do for me this week? Oh, Lord, I stood firm. I had my shield. I had my armor on. I was bobbing and weaving. I was a spiritual ninja. Nothing come against me. God says, Bob, I'm your protector. I've got your back. Again, I ask, what did you do for me? And it just hit me like a wave. Truth usually does that sometimes, doesn't it? Just hits you like a wave. Oh, my gosh. Lord, I think I know what you're trying to tell me. I thought I had done so well to stop the attack of the enemy all week. Like I said, bobbing and weaving. But had I really? Let's see if we can answer those. Listen to the answers that God wants when he asks those questions. He told me first that he was my protector. What about the armor of God? Give me my shield again. It's getting rough in here. I need that shield. Okay. It's not a lid, it's a shield. Homemade. Think of the armor of God. You know, sometimes I think we think of it in the wrong way. It talks about the armor of God. You see me up here dodging and weaving. Sometimes we start putting our faith in our shield. This is an inanimate object. It cannot protect me. It's the shield of faith, not your faith shield. Our faith is in God. He's our only protector. Don't use it. We don't hide behind our faith, do we? We stand on it. In all actuality, if you look at the Roman armor, which was being the example used here, they did have a shield like that, but the majority of the time they had a big shield. You ever seen riot control? Might have seen it on TV, if nowhere else. Where they're marching and force got that big shield. In front of them, it's a big thing, kind of rounded like this as they're walking, pushing a crowd back. Your faith is not a defensive weapon. It's an offensive weapon. You use your shield of faith to press forward. Do you know none of the armor has anything on the back? And to begin with, it's just an analogy. It's a spiritual battle. There is no shield of faith. Our faith is in Christ. It's a spiritual battle. It's spiritual armor. Why in the world? I've heard of a lot of ministers talk about, well, I get up every morning, put my armor on, and pray as I put each piece on. That always sounded good to me. Well, I stopped and thought, we're in a war. Everybody agree? There's a few, I know Sarge has been in places where they shoot at you occasionally. Where in the Word does it say to take your armor off? Show me. I can show you where it says to put it on. And I don't think it's by coincidence the first piece of armor is what? Helmet of salvation. You put that on the minute you're saved. The minute you're saved, God's got your back. You put the armor on. You never take it off. The person that said that has never been in a shooting war. I can imagine at night, down in some of those little bunkers with sandbags around us, right? Water that deep in there, that I would put on my bunny slippers, get my little teddy bear, and go to sleep. Don't worry. Time out. No way is Satan going to bother me at night. You're safe at night. He's not going to bother. He's asleep. He's not going to bother you. Take your armor off. Relax. No. He looks at the most opportune time to get you. Everybody ever had a nightmare, been attacked at night? Then why in the world would we take our armor off at night to put it back on the next morning? You put it on the moment you're saved, and it stays there forever. Because tell me when you're not going to be attacked and where you're not going to be attacked. It's always, when you're in a war, you're always prepared. You sleep with your boots on. At night in the jungle, your feet get a little sweaty. We would simply take our boots off, use your shirt to dry your feet, put a clean pair of socks on, put your boots back on, lace it up, and then go to bed with everything else on. I used to carry two flak jackets. One I wore, one I sit on when I was in a plane. I was protected because you never know when it's going to come, right? So why would we take off our armor? God is our protector. The only time we won't have our armor is if we leave God. If I work for General Motors, they got me covered with life insurance, health insurance. But if I quit working for them, are they going to still continue to protect me? I'm working somewhere else now. Why would I expect General Motors to carry my insurance, to be my protector in that? They're not. Same way, if we walk away from God, is the only way we're going to lose our insurance. If not, he's always going to be there. He's going to be our protector. And the second thing he's asked or he said, God said to me, was, I've got your back. That hit me. Even with the armor, there's nothing protecting your back. So what good is that armor? Right? It's not. God's got your back. I'm going to quote something I read this morning. I did have anybody on Facebook? A lot. What is so funny? There's a lot of good stuff on Facebook. The only friends I have are my family and people in church here. That's the only ones. And still some weird stuff comes through, yes, occasionally. But I had a verse I was going to use. Where's Kim? Oh, stand up. Oh, you are. Never mind. Well, you're stand up. Oh, I'm sorry. I told Kim I was going to use a verse that I seen that she had put on the on Facebook. You can sit down now. I don't want to tire you out. But then I got a change of heart or a change of mind, which doesn't take much when you don't have much mind. I was getting ready to turn my phone off, and what a coincidence, a screen popped up, and it was a verse from Christy. Where's she at? There you know, you stand up. I couldn't see you either. But it said simply, and I thought, what a coincidence this just happened to come up. And excuse me if I'm miscorrecting this, but it simply says, fill your mind with God's word, and the devil's lies can't come in. Well, that hit. That's it right there. So let's take a look at what God says in his word about him protecting us, right? I can stand up here all day and talk. You don't want to know what I'm saying. We want to know what God has to say. Amen? First one is the verse Pastor John used last week. What a coincidence. I was kidding. Fred told him this morning he had no idea what I was going to speak about. I had no idea what Pastor John was going to speak about. Fred was going to speak about, but Fred stole half my message. That usually happens, but that's great. Then I had the right. I'd done this one maybe a month and a half ago. The Holy Spirit knows what was going to happen a month from now. He knows what's going to happen next week, month from now, a year from now. It doesn't make any difference. But Pastor John used this one last week. Isaiah 54:17. No weapon forged against you will prevail. Remember that one, Pastor? Amen. And you will refute every tongue that accuses you. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and this is their vindication from me, declares the Lord. All right, now when I read one of these, I want you to say, God's got my back. Say it. You just interpreted this word. I'm proud of you. What God is saying here is he's got our back. No weapon, either action, physical weapon, or words or spiritual things can come against us. Fred was talking about people lying on him. If they're talking good about you is when you need to worry. If the world hates you, doggone, you're doing something right. But the second part, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. You want God's protection? You're his servant. Right? Think of it this way. Christy, if I look outside and see somebody trying to break into your Corvette, I got your back. I'm going to call 911. I look outside and see somebody's trying to steal my cheap Chevy. I'm going to run out and grab one of them alley rocks from in front here and knock them in the head and put a Fred Jesus choke on them, right? Because that's my car. You can mess with her car. She's got insurance. But don't mess with my car. That's how God feels about us. What would you do to save your children? And none of us are as good as God. What he would do and does do to have our back. Amen? All right. 2 Thessalonians 3:3. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. Say it. God's got my back. That's what he's saying, correct? All right, now this is God's word, not my word. Deuteronomy 31:6. You don't have to worry about writing these down. I'm going kind of fast. In the back, there's notes with every one of these on it. Take that. Keep it in your Bible. When you start getting attacked, you pull this out and you read it just like I am now. Your Bible. Or your back pocket. You can put back your car. You can put it wherever you want. Back your truck. Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Got that, Fred? Or terrified because of them. For your Lord, your God, goes with you, and he will never leave you nor forsake you. Wherever you go, God is with you. That's why you need to be in his plan, purpose, and will for your life, right? God is directing you. Actually, he's leading you. If there's ever a time in your life you have to stop and look back to see where God's at, you're in the wrong place. We're supposed to be following God, right? Isaiah 41:10. So do not fear. I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. God's got your back. That's what he's telling you. In Psalms 5:11. But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you. What do we have to worry about? Why worry when all these things are coming? I was hiding behind that shield, right? What's God saying? Don't worry. Be glad. Be joyous. Rejoice that these things are coming against you. If they weren't, that's when to worry. You think the devil is going to bother somebody that's not doing anything? The more you're attacked, the more you ought to be thankful to God that he allows these attacks, because you're doing something right. If all you do is walk in here, sit at the back, listen to a good word and go home, and that's your spiritual life, Satan ain't going to bother you. He's already lost you. No big deal. You're saved. You're one person out of 6 billion. You'll go somewhere else. Time's on his side. You may fall before you die. He's got plenty of time. He's seen a lot better than you fall to the wayside. But now, when you figure out that Christianity is not a spectator sport, it's a full contact sport, and you get out there and you start talking to people, you start witnessing, you start doing things, you've got his attention, right? Things are going to come against you. But what is God telling us? Don't worry about that. Why? Because he's got your back. Psalm 34:19. The righteous person may have troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. The righteous. What is a righteous person? Plainly put, somebody that does what's right. How do we know what's right? God's word. It's simple, right? You're walking out in God's word. He's got your back. He's going to protect you. So simply, always do what is right in the eyes of the Lord, even when he's not watching you. Because there is no time he's not watching you. Believe me, there's times that the world is watching you. You can't even hide from them. Guarantee it. Sometimes we feel like Pastor Don. We can't go anywhere without everybody looking at us. Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in trouble. That shield, say it. That's right. Don't let me jump out here now. Keep me on pace. God is our refuge and our strength, right? Now, if he was just our refuge, why would we need strength? Refuge, refreshing. There's a time that we need to step back, get a drink of water, and run back in. We're not hiding. It's not a fortress that we go hide in and hide behind. You can't run from your troubles. Where are you going to hide from your troubles? It's like trying to hide from God. You can't hide from God or your troubles. They're going to find you. You face them head on. You got a problem? You can't hide from it. Face that problem head on. Do the right thing. God will be with you. I've told many people that. Well, what should I do? Do what's right. How in the world can you go wrong by doing what's right? You can't. You can't. It's always going to work out in the end. I guarantee it. In Deuteronomy, verse 28:7. I'm skipping a few. Like I said, in the back, there's all of them back there, but we're a little limited on time here. I can't read all of them. But the whole word, just about all of God's word, is talking about his protection over us. Because he loves us. You think a man that loves you so much, a God that loves you, he's not a man, forgive me. God loves you so much that he sent his son to die for you, would not protect you. That's how much he loves you. We need to stop sometimes. We get caught up in our troubles. Anybody have any troubles last year? Beth, did you have a trouble last year? This day last year, what was your problem? You don't even remember, do you? So apparently you made it through it. But you have a new problem now. They're going to come. We forget the old ones. You know why? Because God's taking them through us. God is taking us through them. Amen? All right. Deuteronomy 28:7. The Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. You read that one, Pastor? Don? Okay. They will come at you from one direction, but flee from you in seven others. What God is telling you here is that your enemies will, the only thing that your enemies will join together on is a mutual hatred for us. You'll have the worst offshot groups you've ever seen that hate each other. They will come together when there's a Christian involved because they hate us worse. But the minute they think they've won or they're defeated, they turn and run, they spread out again. The only time they'll come together. So God is bringing people together, isn't he? Even your enemies, they come together against us. So we got them in one spot that we can either defeat them or save them, one or the other. But they'll leave in seven different directions because they're scattered. 138:7. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. Your strength, you stretch out your hand against the anger of my foes, and with your right hand, you save me. 2 Samuel 22:3. I'm throwing out a lot of scriptures here because this is an important thing for us to understand. I'm jumping all through the Word, and it's always talking about God's got our back. We don't need to worry, have fear like Fred taught this morning, right? God's got our back. What in the world is greater than God? If God's on our side, what am I worried about? 2 Samuel 22:3. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. Again, he's not talking about going and hiding. We've established that, right? That's a place to go to get strengthened. Where do we go to get strengthened? To God. Don't run from him in times of trouble. Run to him. My shield and the horn of my salvation. He is my stronghold, my refuge, my savior. For violent people you save me from. We live in a violent world, don't we? The hatred for Christians is getting worse and worse. Gosh, that's great. We've got their attention. We can deal with it now. Why do you think they don't hate Muslims? They don't hate the homosexuals. Because they're not a threat. None of that is real. Are you afraid of a shadow or something of TV? You watch something on TV, it shouldn't scare you. It's not real. It's TV, right? Same way. All of these other things are just smoke and screens. The only thing real is Christianity. And anybody that comes against that, of course they're going to have a fear. Because they know that's the only thing they can't defeat and will never defeat it. But they're stupid and going to try. All they're doing is getting themselves together where we can get them saved. Got them all in one pile. We'll either save them or curse them. John 10:28 through 30. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them from my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. And I and the Father are one. You give your life over to Christ, you've got God on your side. Your salvation is secure. Your bank account ain't. The value of your house is not either. We've seen that so many times, right? I live in a $1 million house. 2 weeks from now, that might be a $250,000 house. You ought to see my 401, $500,000. 3 weeks later, wow, you ought to see my 401, 100,000. Where'd it go? Where did it come from to begin with? It's all on paper, right? Your salvation is the only thing that you need to worry about. It's the only thing that you're going to take with you. I've often said I've never seen a funeral procession with a Brinks truck behind the hearse. Because even if they did that, thank you. Right behind that Brinks truck, there's two guys with shovels whistling. You can't take it with you other than salvation. Deuteronomy 3:22. I'll stop the verses with this one, but believe me, there's a lot more. I've got quite a few of them back there on your way out if you want one. Do not be afraid. Fred, do not be afraid. The Lord your God himself will fight for you. The God that created everything is going to fight for you. What do you have to worry about? Somebody going to sneak up on your back? No. God's got your back. Amen? Psalm 23, I want you to read all of Psalm 23. I've got that back there. But it, verse 4, even though I walk through the darkest valleys, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Also, every time I pick it up, I change something. I always have a pen. I've got things crossed off, new stuff added. If I had any sense, I'd just write it and leave it. But no, I keep going back. You've never done that, have you, Pastor? No. Pastor Don, every time when he comes into a class, he has the second, third, and fourth edition. You know, which edition are we on? We're on chapter 7, verse 6. Well, which edition? Psalm 121, read the whole thing. But the last part, the Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your comings and going, both now and forever. God's got my back. What more is he saying there that we could ever want? No matter what, he has our back, no matter when. Psalm 91. Brian, Christy, could you come on up a minute? Psalm 91, verse 10 and 11. No harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent. For he commanded his angels concerning you to guard you in all ways. Say it again. By sending angels to watch out for your back is one thing. Brian shared a story, I think it was a couple weeks ago in the Sunday morning Bible study. It was about I'm going to paraphrase a little bit. I'll take some liberties with it. There was a missionary in Africa, and he was in a small village. The nearest town was like 2 days away. So every month, he would take a motorcycle and drive into this town to get money to do them for the whole month. Because his church and a couple other churches were giving donations, they would send it. It was a two-day ride to get to an ATM. You know, they don't have quite the same convenience as we do. One day, and he'd done this every month. One day he comes out, he's there buying supplies or something as usual, getting his money, you know, out for that month. And there's a fight out there. He runs out, breaks up the fight. He's a couple guys beating this one guy down bad. So he runs out there hollering, yelling. They take off. He kind of picks a guy up, sets him there, starts, you know, doctoring him up a little bit, you know, talking to him. He said, you all right? He said, oh, yeah, thanks. They would have killed me. He said, this is the guy that got beat up. He said, I owe you. He said, when you were here last month, we've been watching you. Me and my gang, there was four of us. We knew where you were going to camp as you left here with a pocket full of money and a motorcycle. We were sneaking up. We seen your fire. We were sneaking up. We were going to kill you. We were going to take your money and motorcycle and just leave you for the animals to eat. He said, but as we snuck up, something was different this time. Usually you're just there alone. All of a sudden we looked and there's these big, huge armed guards standing there. Kind of looked like Mike Kazizzi back there. Stand up, Mike. That's a guardian angel right there. twice his size. And they said, oh my God. They started looking. There's four of us. Man, there's 26 of those big dudes. Let's get out of here. They take off, he said. So he said, I owe you an apology. And the guy said, well, that's okay. I forgive you. But he knew, this missionary knew, that he didn't have anybody with him. He thinking, I'm just laying there asleep. I'm unprotected. Was he unprotected? Why? God's got his back. Now, here's the kicker. When he was back home the next time, he was telling this story to his church, the one that sent him out. Am I getting it close? Yeah. Thank you. Good things do happen in Michigan, right? Okay. Thank you. He was in front of the church and he was telling this story. And one of the parishioners said, about what time, what day and what time this was? And he told him, guys, you know, there's a big time difference, right? They're in bed when all of this is going on, too. You know, it's like half a world away. They were like a day and a half behind or something. He said, you know, I got woke up out of bed that very day, that very night, at that very time. And all of a sudden, you hear another guy. I got woke up, too. And another. All these men keep standing up saying, God woke me up and told me to pray for you. And when they were done standing up, he looked and counted. Guess how many there were? 26. That's why you're pastor. 26. God's got your back. I asked these guys if they'd share a story, if you would, please. You can start, and then she'll add in and correct you and make it right.
About 15 years ago, Alex was like 8 years old. We were out in Arizona visiting our mother-in-law, Chrissy's mom. And it's the morning, and we're like, you know, we should take a walk. So we're going to take a nice little walk. And right across from us was this high hill, almost like a mountain, with all these beautiful homes. So we start off on our walk, and we're going this way down the road about a mile. Then we cut back around, and then we come up to the hill, and it's beautiful homes. And I said, okay, so, you know, we're getting tired. We're getting hot. So I said, Chrissy, why don't you and Alex and have my nephew Miguel with us? I said, you guys sit here, you know, sip on some water. I'll go to the top of the hill to see if there's a road to go down because it's too much, it's getting 100 degrees out here, you know. So as I'm walking up there, and mind you, this is million-dollar homes, I see this Sanford and Son truck, Pastor Don, with two shady-looking guys driving real slow through the neighborhood. So, I get to the top, and I'm a couple hundred yards away. I'm up on this hill, and all of a sudden I see the truck again, and it swings back around, and then it sees Christy, Alex, and Miguel, and these two guys start slowing down in the truck to a stop. I'm 200 yards away up this hill, and I just had this run, overcome, like, you need to run. So I said, oh, man. So I just start running as fast as I can down this hill. And finally, when I get almost all the way there, the truck took off.
Finish it. So as Brian's running down the hill towards us, I'm watching him run. And behind him, I swear, was a 7-foot figure running with him. It's the guys looked, they saw, and they took off. And when he got back, I told them, I said, you know, you weren't alone. There was a 7-foot figure with you.
She asked me, she goes, who's that guy running with you? And I'm like, what guy? So, you know, so we knew it was an angel, and, you know, that was, praise God, amen?
Say it.
God's got your back.
Amen. One more story I'm going to end with. You can't, anytime you're telling stories, you got to have a Pastor Don story. Pastor Don, could you come down a moment, please? This will be story. He numbers his. I think this is story 119. When Pat, this is a long time ago, when I was real young. Pastor Don was still on the police force, and he was on either afternoons or midnights or something. But I'm laying in bed, minding my own business, snoring, dreaming the dreams of just wonderful little unicorns and things, happy as can be. And all of a sudden, my wife, Bob, Bob, get up. I jump up, house on fire, what's going on? We got to pray for Pastor Don. I know that. She said, no, I can't go back to sleep. God woke me up and said, we've got to pray for Pastor Don right now. Okay. So we prayed. No, nothing big and fancy, just, God, we don't know what's going on. Please protect him. You know he's in your he's in your hands. He's doing your will, Father God. Please protect him. Then my wife said she was able to go back to sleep with no problem. Now, the next day, she tells Pastor Don the story. And the first thing he says is, go talk to my wife. His wife. Laura, would you finish off what happened?
So, this was probably in 1990 or 91. My kids were little. And he was working midnights. And anybody who's ever been married to a police officer knows that when your husband walks out, you know, it goes with the job. But I woke up in the middle of the night. It was early morning, actually. Just sat straight up. I thought, something's wrong. Something's wrong. So immediately I jump up and go check on the kids, the babies. Just a few months before, the Lord had woken me up the same way. And Mark must have been about 8 or 9 months old. He had a blanket wrapped around his head. And, I mean, he was literally minutes away from suffocating. So I knew, you know, that feeling. Something was wrong. So you go check all the doors and the windows, and still that feeling wasn't going away. So, I just started praying, for my husband. And I just started praying for his protection. And I kept seeing a gun. And, this was 2, 3 in the morning. And at that time, you don't have cell phones. I couldn't text him to see if he was okay. I couldn't call him to see if he was okay. So I had to wait till the following morning to find out what had happened. And
let him finish it off. We got to give him something to do, Pastor. Here's two separate ladies in two separate parts of town. By coincidence, the same night, the same time, God wakes them up to start praying for Pastor Don. Of course you did. God. Now, what was happening at that time, we will now hear.
Thank you, Bob. What had happened was we received a call. They used to have Neighborhood Watch. These guys would drive around and, put their nose in everybody's business and call you 100 times a night. But they had come across a car down by Greenfield, and they would notice these guys were throwing truck tires and truck equipment in the back of their vehicle that they had. And if you've got any truck drivers, those chains that you see, on the back, those are pretty expensive, as well as tarps and things like that. They're pretty expensive, aren't they, there, Roger? And they were stealing tires. So I just happened to be right around the corner, and it was right at this time that both of them got awakened by the Lord. And as I pulled up, there was 3 of them, and they were all outside, and, I had the gun out, get against the fence. There was a fence there, and so as I stopped, the guy in the middle went through the fence and disappeared because it was covered with vines. I couldn't see. They had cut an opening there, and that's how they were getting in and out of the yard stealing things. And so the 2 guys that were still out, I handcuffed them, put them in the back of the car, and then I went to take off after the other guy. And as I approached that opening in the fence, and this had only happened a couple times in my life, I heard the audible voice say, do not go through that fence. He has a gun. And I kind of just stopped, and I was by myself. I was waiting for backup, and it was a big truck yard, and I could see in there there's hundreds of trucks and could have been hiding anywhere. So I waited for backup, and we called for a dog, and state police came out, went through the yard. We could never find the guy. And so I took the 2 guys that I had arrested. Well, 2 out of 3 ain't bad, as Meatloaf used to sing, And took them down there, and so the next day when I got called into work early, and I went in there, and they said, hey, go back there and release those guys and give them their property. Somebody bonded them out. So I went back there, and I'm giving them all their stuff, and the one guy taps me on the shoulder. He says, it's a good thing you didn't go after that guy. I said, why is that? He said, well, he had a felony warrant. He's been in jail before, and he had a gun. He had a .44 Magnum, and he would have used it had you gone after him. And so that day, that's when I got the phone call from Sharon and Bob, as well as my wife, and they said, we got woken up last night. We were praying for you right about this time, and it was right at that time where the Spirit of God told me, don't go through that gate. He's got a gun. And You know, so as Bob has been preaching all day today, you know, that God had my back, and thank God that he did.
Amen. Amen. Could I have the prayer team make their way up? The last thing that God asked me that day was, what did you do for me? That week that I was running around, thought I was doing great. I was protecting myself. God asked me what I was doing for him. Well, God, I protected myself. You're already mine. You don't have to do that. I've got your back. What does he tell us? Build my kingdom, and I will take care of everything else. When things start coming against you, don't pull something out to hide behind. You've got an offensive weapon, the Word of God. Use that. Devil, you're coming against me. I'm not going to hunker down here. I'm going to go out. I'm going to start praying for people. There's a guy in a mustache back there. He looks kind of unsaved. Maybe I'll go talk to him. Maybe I'll go volunteer at a nursing home. Maybe I'll volunteer at a soup kitchen. You're coming against me? I'm going to come against you. Let's see who lasts the longest. It's not me against you, it's me and God, like Brian with that 7-foot guy, against you, Satan. I'm going to win. You keep coming, I'll keep coming. And in the end, I'm going to win. So when the enemy starts coming against you, God is going to defend you. You go out and continue to build his kingdom. You know how many, you take a rock and throw out the window, you'll hit somebody that needs the Word of God, somebody that's not saved. Get out there and give it to them, right? That's our job. Don't hide. Don't worry about your back. Defense never wins. If you're all defense, at the best, you might break even. That's what's called a lukewarm Christian. I don't want to break even. I want to win for God. And with God with you, how can you help but win? All Satan has to do to win is to slow you down, to stop you. I spent that whole week doing nothing for God, just protecting myself. That's why God said, what did you do for me? Don't worry about your back. Get out there and build his kingdom. You're his. He's going to protect you. Amen? Thank you. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Lord. Father God, we thank you for just a revelation, Father God, that you have our back, Father God. The Lord, this is not a defensive position. We should be in an offensive position, Father God. Give us the strength, the boldness, and the unction, Father God, that when we're attacked, not to defend, but to charge back, Father God. Enemy comes against us, I'm going to go against him because you have my back. But Lord, we cannot do this without your strength. And that's what we pray for this morning, your strength, Father God. Anyone that feels they don't have the strength, not to stand, but to turn around and attack, come on up and get some prayer or prayer for anything else. They're open here. Father, we thank you for this time, Father God. We thank you for your protection. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen to that.